141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another big night of Scottish Premiership action. Rangers take their poor away form to Dundee, looking for an upturn on the road. Celtic are 16 points clear after a 2-0 win against Dundee United, with more than just Kieran Tierney's name being sung. And in Ayrshire, it was a chilly and uneventful night as Kilmarnock and Motherwell drew 0-0. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, there seems just to be no respite just now. Big games keep coming round. Another big one for Rangers at Dens, another away fixture that Philippe Clement has question marks over. Can he actually get a victory? Can he cut that lead at the top to 13 points after Celtic winning comfortably against Dundee United last night? And how's that set up the teams for the weekend ahead? Another big week in Scottish football to look forward to.
Yeah, looking forward to it tonight. Should be a good game at Dens Park. Rangers coming in for a little bit of criticism about their away form. They need to address that. They can't, afford to let it go to 16. They've got to get it back to 13. I know it's a massive ask. But then you look at Celtic last night, I thought they were very comfortable. The only problem, Coon pulling up just before the game kicks off. Hopefully for Celtic's point of view, they've caught it early because he's a big, big player for them, and there's a lot of big games coming up. And as you said, I don't think the classic down at Rugby Park last night, but if you're a Motherwell fan, you'll take a draw.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. So what are you thinking tonight? If we're looking back on last night's action, of course, let's take all your observations from Celtic Park. What was good about the performance? What was not so good about the performance? If there was anything, clearly being 16 points clear is a good position to be in. And is that a line drawn under Songate? The Celtic fans made their point in tongue-in-cheek, humorous fashion. Brendan Rodgers seemed to take it okay. They sung every single former player's song that you can think of. Except yours.
Have you got a song?
Wilson. But they need to make up one for
you. Seriously.
It was only the tie, Tim, that had a song about me, but nobody
I was waiting on it. I could hear all sorts. Charlie Mulgrew's song was being
Chattery,
sung.
Andy Hinkle.
Seriously?
Not had them all.
Not once did your song get mentioned.
Nah, I know. Outrageous. I'm with Brendan Rodgers. I'm against him at Green Brigade.
So has the penny finally dropped in?
What?
That you've not even got a song, mate.
Listen, that didn't bother
me. As Brendan Rodgers said last night, the kit man had a song.
He would have been sung of it before me. It's quite a weird week. Yeah, because when we left here on Sunday, we thought we'd be chatting about Philippe Clement and Rangers and a comfortable win for Celtic. And then
we played that
dropped.
Clip at like 5 minutes to the end of 5 seconds to the end of the show on Sunday, didn't we?
Quite explosive, and obviously I've not been on since then. I've been listening to the show. Yeah, I've been taken aback by the amount of calls you've actually taken on, you know, comments from a manager who's so far ahead in the league. But you're right in saying last night, I think the Celtic fans addressed it in the right way. There was a bit of humour, a bit of tongue-in-cheek about that, and I think the Celtic manager dealt with it pretty well after it. Look, Celtic are that far ahead now that there's nothing really to be concerned about that much on the pitch, and it's, you know, division kind of creeping in amongst themselves, but I think it was all put to bed last night.
Yes, is that a line drawn under it? You want to analyse the songbook and tell us why Mark Wilson doesn't have one?
Yep.
You're more than welcome. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. We could actually talk about the performance on the pitch if you so wish. What about tonight then, Rangers fans? What a week it has been. Exactly a week, in fact. The highs of beating Celtic at Ibrox, maybe, just maybe, wondering if things had turned the corner and fancying an upturn in form and maybe going from strength to strength, and all of a sudden brought crashing back down to earth at Easter Road. And that has been the theme, the away form this season. 3 wins from 10. So what does an away trip to Dens Park look like? Are you dreading it? Maybe you do feel full of confidence. Maybe you think this is the night that it kicks on, but still those defensive injuries. Still no Jack Butland. Who will captain the team tonight? It could be anybody's guess, really, if Nicholas Raskin is suspended. He stood in, of course, for James Tavernier. So give us all your thoughts, please, Rangers fans, building up to kick off there. And if you Kilmarnock and Motherwell fans have thawed out, we'll take your reflections on last night as well. The transfer window's open, very much open. A few rumours starting to do the rounds. So if any of them are catching your attention, same number. Give us a call and we'll go through it all right now if you can. Let's head to Dens Park to get a flavour of what's going on up there. Rangers the visitors, Dundee the hosts, and Gabriel is watching on.
Yes, I certainly am, Gordon. Good evening from the Scott Firm Stadium here at Dens Park. The temperature currently at -2. I considered coming on camera for the live stream, but no one wants to see the hat, schnood, two gloves and six layers on top. More importantly, it's a huge game for Rangers, and it's another one on the road where they've struggled all season. Only won 3 out of 10 in the league this campaign. That has to change today in the face of the huge 16-point gap between themselves and league leaders Celtic. Well, their mini-injury crisis isn't going to help with that at the moment. Six first-team players out, including Butland, Suter, Balogun, Tavernier, Casemiro and Lawrence. Dujon Sterling remains a doubt, but he could play this evening. Philippe Clement spoke about the squad depth yesterday. It says it's something they need to improve, perhaps in January. But he accepts the financial restraints that the club have to work with. And he cited Celtic spending £30 million in the summer on players who don't always start. Of course, there's another team. It will be the host Dundee this evening. Tony Doherty's side won two of their last three. The season was in danger of sliding towards the bottom of the table, but they've stabilised a bit. They're eighth at the moment, and a win would put them in the top six where they finished last season. Rangers have actually won this fixture three times in a row, but all of those three games came at Ibrox. If you cast your mind back to last April and the 0-0 draw here for that infamous rearranged game helped derail Rangers' title charge. Will we see more pain on the road for Philippe Clement's side this evening, Gordon? We'll have to wait and see. The referee will be Callum Scott, Greg Aitken, the VAR, and I'll bring you team news when it comes at around 6:45.
Come on then, Rangers fans. How are you feeling tonight? Is this the night the away form turns around? Or are you expecting more of the same? The team down to the bare bones as well. So is there anything in particular you'd like to see? Who do you think will captain the team? That's more of a just a guessing game. We can see who gets it right rather than it mattering too much, because it is just a one-off occasion, I suppose. But give us a call right now, please. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. Huge night, Gordon.
Yeah, especially after the disappointment of Sunday through in the capital, especially when they're in control of the game after about 25 minutes. And once again, the away record come back to bite them, as you highlighted there, 3-10. Not good enough. They need to address that. We know they've got defensive problems tonight. We know that, you know, standing Kipper. Yeah, he's in as well. The standing skipper, Raskin is missing. As you quite rightly say, who will take the armband? But I think, to be honest with you, Gordon, I think they'll have enough tonight. I don't know why. I just think that sort of a front four, as I call them, I think Igerman's in great form, especially after his hat-trick. Cherney's always a problem. Hadji's got terrific ability as well. Barron will probably come in there and sit with Diamandi. It will be a tough game, but I think they'll have enough in their tank tonight.
It's hard to call, though, for me. I wouldn't be so sure. And just probably because of all the injury worries. I then look back to when you revisit grounds, you know, from your last experience that sometimes lingers in the mind. I mean, Dundee have got injury problems as well. They're a bit of a mixed bag, so it's not gone perfectly for them. So I think it's a bit of an unpredictable one. No doubt Philippe Clement has to win. He has to start turning round the away form sooner rather than later. If he gets one or two bodies in the door in January, who knows what the back end of the season might look like, but he needs to win tonight.
Right, come on then, Rangers fans. All your thoughts ahead of tonight, whether that's team selection, captaincy, thoughts on turning the away form around, thoughts on where the away form's gone wrong, Philippe Clement's position, whatever it is, get your calls in. Celtic fans, tell us everything we need to know about last night. And if there are any transfer rumours taking your fancy, we can do those as well. Andy is first through. How are you, Andy?
Very well, Gordon. Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good evening, Andy.
Good. All good.
All right, lads. Listen, just a wee observation. Then I've got a point that's more about Scottish football in general rather than my team. And I've also got my thoughts on what Brendan Rodgers said last week. But you might have played die of death, so for the time at the end, I won't bother. Listen, I'll tell you this. Firstly, an observation. I thought Luke McCown was absolutely outstanding last night when he played in the middle of the pitch. The boy seems to be going from strength to strength, which is great. But my main point, right, is I think it's been a sort of dereliction of duty from the SPFL. Last night, with Celtic Park, there's Rangers fans travelling to Dundee the night. Dundee United fans travelling to Celtic Park last night. For which was the sixth game, I'm sure, in like 16 days or something like that, right? But by the time we got to the 2nd of February, they had played 13 games in 39 days. Two of those games are the most, but are really, really important games in Europe, which is the end of the schedule. When you look at the start of the season and the last 3 weeks of the season, for the first 6 weeks of the season, no midweek games. For the last two games, two weekends of March, first 2 weeks in April, no weekend games. This is impacting on the quality of football, the quality of the spectacle, affordability for families just after Christmas, people travelling for those for Ireland and England and stuff like that. The games have gone in cold weather, people are not going, it's having an impact on finances, I'm sure. I know this is leading up to two of the biggest games we've got against Young Boys and for Rangers against Manchester United. I just think it's been lack of foresight by the SPFL, just done the tried and tested, putting all the games in at Christmas. And actually, you hear a lot of managers complaining in a different ways, but actually, they've got a very, very good point.
Are these ones not, and I'm actually, this is one of my areas that I don't really look into fixture scheduling maybe as much as I should. These will be catch-up games, though, from presumably the League Cup final or something like that for Celtic and Rangers, because there's not a full card.
No.
Right, yeah. So you can't schedule them before the League Cup final because you don't know who's going to reach the League Cup final. Mm-hmm. I think what makes matters, this is not to say Andy's point's completely wrong, by the way, but I think what's to make it even worse this season is this new European format takes so many midweeks. You've got extra European, you know, UEFA sort of block off those dates and have it before. I actually was speaking to Philippe Clement yesterday about this. Before we did an interview, I was just kind of curious. I don't think he would mind me saying it wasn't a hugely private conversation. Just saying how, you know, for players who are not used to this, do we have a much busier schedule over Christmas than others? And obviously we don't have a winter break this year, but that's why I think there are now only a couple of free midweeks left to leave room for any postponements. And luckily, I don't think, have we had any Premiership postponements? Certainly not many. So I'm not saying that the core of Andy's point is wrong, but these are catch-up games, I think, from the League Cup final, and the new European formats have caused havoc with the calendar.
Yeah, so it's difficult to find a place to put them. I like the outline of Andy's point. I agree with it, where we've got our summer months maybe and our lighter nights, and it's maybe easier for people to go along and watch at the start of the season and the end. But you're right, where do you fit them in? You've also got international football in there as well.
Well, that's the point. You have an international break September, October and November.
Yeah, so it's a pretty hefty schedule that clubs have to basically shut down for. So that takes, three midweeks out your schedule as well. So while your point's good, Andy, I just don't know how they can balance it. It is always traditionally the busiest time of year, and we always go on about how important it is because games do come round really quickly.
Because like I say, you like the kind of Boxing Day card, that's good. Yeah. Obviously the New Year card with the derbies and so on, there's always that one in between. And then like I say, not the only teams that played this midweek were the ones that had to catch up. You know, there wasn't
another... Yeah, it's been going for a long time. You know, even in... Came back to as far back as my day, that the Christmas period was always very, very busy, very hectic as a football player. I know there's a lot more strain now because, as Mark touched on there, you're not just looking into Europe, you're not looking into domestic fixtures, you're looking into the top players that are travelling all over the world and going playing internationals. It's very demanding on them now, of that there's no doubt. But I've got to say, it's very demanding on supporters. I took my hat off to anybody that went out the door last night, went along to Celtic Park, went along to Rugby Park and sat there and supported their team, because it could have been very easy for people to say, do you know what, not tonight. But the one thing that the football's got is, you know, the core of a good support of these clubs and people. It'll be the same tonight at Dens Park. There'll be a decent crowd in there. You hear Gav's. We're reaching temperatures of minus 7.
The argument is, can you move some of these games to August and front load it? But we often chat about European qualification and then how these are the most important games to get our clubs into the group stages, so we have to prepare.
Because at the start of then,
I don't know if there's any answer to it, really.
Kilmarnock, St Mirren, they were all going through European qualifiers at that time. Anyway, Andy, tell us more about Luke McCowan last night, because I was quite interested. We didn't really talk about it much last night. It's not often Celtic name an unchanged team, and they did. Do you think maybe a bit of consistency in there now?
Gordon, just to pick you up, I don't usually disagree with you, as you know, right? But I knew that you would have delved into it and said that you had the reasons for this.
Oh, however, did you? I see that coming?
So on the 5th of January that weekend, the 2nd of January, the 29th of December, 26th of December, and the 21st of December, those five fixture windows were full cards. That's like, I know, but
you phoned up. Presumably, the reason you phoned tonight is because of last night and tonight. And I'm saying that these are catch-up fixtures that we're always going to have to come into this midweek.
They just happen to be two fixtures. What I'm saying is we could schedule a wee bit better, maybe towards the end. And in September, there's no midweek games. There is European qualifiers
and an international break.
Yeah, I got that. But I did look. There's Wednesdays available. I'm just saying that it could be done. It could be done much, much better. So we'll agree to disagree for once, right? Last night, I thought. Luke McCowan was absolutely outstanding. Middle, I thought he was man of the match. He got put on the right hand side when we made a substitution. It was good to see Hatate coming on and getting a goal. Celtic played well last night. It was weird because it wasn't the full stadium, and obviously there was a wee bit of a different atmosphere with the songbook and stuff like that, which was good. But I think hopefully we can draw a line under the whole episode. My belief on it is what's not been mentioned was that. When Brendan Rodgers made that comment about Greg Taylor, when the singing started, Greg Taylor was actually on the ground when the singing started. So I think Brendan Rodgers' point was made about he was lying injured while they started singing. Greg Taylor, if any footballer in the world walks off and moans at his manager, gets off his chest, the manager can out, facts his player, gets off his chest. Hopefully the fans, I thought they were good last night, but hopefully that's off everybody's chest and we can just call it a score draw and move on.
Is that kind of what it was, Andy? Was that the fans saying last night, well, we still disagree with the sentiment on Greg Taylor and we're about to show you because we're going to sing all the other names of other previous players, but then ultimately Brendan Rodgers took it fine, didn't he? So is that the sort of best outcome?
I'm glad he did. And can I just make last wee point, Gordon? I said I'd make it too much, right? But see the comment he made about the fans in terms of the backward passing and stuff like that. Brendan Rodgers is very, very shrewd. And I had a thought about what is he getting at there, right? And I firmly believe this, right? I think he's looking as far ahead as the young boys' game. He knows for a fact. He's just come out of Ibrox, can be 3-0 with no fans, right? He understands the importance of the Celtic crowd at the big European games. Leading back to my very first point, he knows that the young boys' game's coming after a run of games, a horrendous fixture log. He's seen what happened to Hearts a couple of weeks ago, losing to the bottom team in a division and actually no qualifying. Brendan Rodgers and every Celtic fan will be desperate to get through this stage. I think the message that he put out in terms of backing the team and being patient, he's a clever man. I think it was geared more towards getting to that game than anything else.
You could be right. I think
he was actually trying to educate them going forward for most games. Right, you look at anybody went along to Celtic Park last night, the first half, Celtic had something like 89% of the play. 89%. Schmeichel must have been as cold as the people in the stands. He never touched the ball. Dundee United, and I'm not blaming Jim Goodwin here for this, because Jim had the same tactics up at Tannadice and got a decent draw. But it's very difficult to go to Celtic and go toe-to-toe, especially in their own back garden. But they sat back and they said to Celtic, we're going to try and frustrate you, hoping that would frustrate the fans as well. And I think Brendan Rodgers, I think Andy's making a good point there about he's trying to educate them for young boys. I think he's trying to educate them for probably a lot of the games that they're going to go along to Celtic Park and witness, because Dundee United put everybody behind the ball. Harley was in Celtic's half and basically says, come and break us down. We've got a game plan. We'll open up a little bit in the second half. We'll make a couple of substitutions. And it made it a lot better entertainment, made it a lot better game. But Jim Goodwin's argument is, I'm not there to entertain the Celtic fans. I'm there to try and get a result. So I think Brendan Rodgers is probably saying, look, this is what will happen with teams. They'll come, they'll be disciplined, they'll be organised, and they're going to try and make it hard. You've got to try and be patient and be with us.
Andy mentioned Luke McCowan. Mark, and as I said to Andy there, we don't often see back-to-back same starting 11s from Celtic, which is something we did witness last night.
Well, it wasn't a shame.
Or was it not?
No. Yang couldn't play. When it was announced, it was supposed to be in terms of midfield.
But McCown deserves that. And by the way, you have to grab your chance when you're given it. I thought he did. His energy, by the way, is kind of infectious, and you need that. See, when you're going through that kind of, I don't know, sticky wee period, you need guys that can come in and give you energy and quality, and he certainly did last night.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers then. Andy says, that's it, a line drawn under it. The Celtic boss laughed off the songbook from the Celtic support that went through the back catalogue of ex-players. No mention for Mark Wilson. Incredibly, he thinks the fans played a huge part in their win.
Aye, it was just the kit man. He was the only one that missed out, I think, tonight. But, it's all part of the dance here, isn't it? So, my job was to put the best team on the pitch and win consistently, and then everyone can smile. The crowd were brilliant, I think, because, like you said, it can get a bit edgy, and we are a support. Bless us that we fret a wee bit and we worry a wee bit. We don't, you know, we can do that. And but no, I think it was there. I think the that support was so important. It was fantastic tonight. Such a cold night to come out and see the team, but the numbers turned up, gave the team a great support, and that allowed us and pushed us over the line.
0141 951 1025. You want to keep looking back on last night's football? Please do. What about tonight, Rangers fans? How are you feeling about that trip to Dundee? Any thoughts on the team? Who should captain the side? Is this the night the away form turns around? Give us a call and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. 0141 951 1025. You are spoiled for choice, because if you're a Celtic fan, you can reflect on last night. Tell us all about the performance. Tell us about the singing from the stands. Not a topic you maybe would have expected to have so much analysis on it. And anything else that you think jumped out, do share. And then we're building up to kick off tonight. Dundee v Rangers. Rangers fans, we have gone round the houses in recent days about the away form. 3 wins in 10. What is behind that? And can it turn around tonight? Who should play? It's a threadbare defence. Who should captain the team? Because Nicholas Raskin's suspended, James Tavernier's out. So give us all your pre-match thoughts there, please, on 0141 951 1025. I don't think it was a footballing festival at Rugby Park. Kilmarnock probably should have won the game, but it ended Killy nil, Motherwell nil. If you've any thoughts there, same place, give us a shout, please. Kenny is on the line. How are you, Kenny?
No bad, mate, no bad.
What are you thinking tonight?
It's what's happening at Murray Park. Surely the under-21s must have a centre-half or a right-back they could get thrown in. And I wouldn't even give Kilmarnock any money to spend. I think he's had 9 days to bring people in and loan to the end of the season, and he's done nothing. You know what I mean? And I just want to know what's happening at Murray Park, because now the boys are getting a shot.
Yeah, I mean, Leon King came on, didn't he? Mm. I mean, he's sort of certainly been around the first team for a long time now. He's not exactly just a youth team player, but he came on in Siala, who is young but was signed, so hasn't really come through the academy as such. He made it onto the bench, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think we've really seen him yet in the first team. Yeah, I mean, it's a valid question. I think it's an ongoing thing here.
Well, there's been so much spoke about it in your game for all our clubs, and the transition report came out not so long ago about the lack of young players coming through or getting their chance. But it's certainly highlighted at Celtic and Rangers. And when you get a situation like Rangers are in at the minute, where there might be a lack of funds, but you've got this horrendous kind of treatment list, if you like, you'd probably be right to ask, well, what's happening? You know, we've got a state-of-the-art training centre there. It's magnificent. They've got good coaches. Where has the talent come through? King getting the team, a couple of mistakes. He was rightly probably taken out at that time, but he's just never found a way to get back in the side. And, you know, time looks like it might be up for him. It may be better served going elsewhere. So the fans are right to ask, you know, where are these young players that can come through and actually affect the first team squad? But obviously Philippe Clement doesn't see it there, because he's the man that has the last judgment. He can take all the advice off the youth coaches and the director of the academy, but he's the man that cast the final vote, and if he doesn't think they're up to it, you won't see them anywhere near the squad.
Be interesting, right, Mark, if Sterling doesn't make it, we don't know yet. I'm not 100% sure if he's going to start, then it's an opportunity for King. He's not had a lot of football. He came on the scene, and when I looked at him, I thought, yeah, he's a real prospect. But then he seemed to just go down the pecking order every single week and found himself hardly playing football. He came on Sunday against Hibs because of, obviously, the injury to Sterling. So he might be thrown in tonight. But I agree, I don't think we do produce. Or it's just a case of we've not got enough good players that managers are confident to put them in.
I think that's an ongoing point, and for loads of clubs as well. So maybe one that, you know, we've visited before, we'll revisit again. I'm quite interested in your take there on the transfer window, Kenny. So you, it's the ninth. You expected Rangers to have done business already. I mean, not loads of teams have done a lot of business. Is it not about a bit of patience?
Well, you know the injury list, and it's going to be long term. So why don't get some players out and get them in loan? You know, to see to the end of the season. You know, it might not be the greatest, but might just see us through. You know, they're just beggars belief. It's 9 days. You know, we go away to the last day and then pick up somebody for Alaba or something.
I'd
be surprised.
I don't know many good players that are going
to Rangers are already in a bad spot with the away form. I don't see many signings from Alaba.
Do you know what I think the big problem is? I think that he's been told that he may have to get players out to release some money. You look at Rangers squad, I know they've got a lot of injuries, but see if you go through the first team squad, they've got a lot of players. There's a lot of wages going out that club every single week. So I think the manager's in a position where he's been told, look, we're prepared to back you, but we've got to balance it somewhere along the line.
There is an air of mystery about it for now, Mark, because Philippe Clement, I think I played the clip last night, he's been saying that Patrick Stewart, who's the new CEO, will address the club's transfer business this week, I think, or in the coming days at some point. He's happy about that because for a while there was no CEO, no sporting director, no, you know, kind of chairman. He felt like he had to speak on everything. Now he's happy that someone else will do it. But the longer that goes on, the Rangers fans are wondering, what does that mean? I mean, I think it's highly unlikely either way that Patrick Stewart's going to sit and say, good news, guys, we've got 50 million quid to spend. Or even on the other side, is he really likely to come out and say, I've got bad news for you all, you know, there's not a penny there? I just struggle to see it being as explicit as that.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. But what the Rangers fans need to see is I'm actually saying something. And I think that's the problem, especially when the manager comes out and states that Patrick Stewart will come out next week and we're getting to the tail end of the week and nothing's been said, and they're kind of concerned that, is this just going to be ignored again? So you need to be careful what you actually put out there. I get Philippe Clement, he's come under fire, and I do feel for him sometimes because the club he has, he's having to manage everything. You know, he's not only focusing on the players and what's going on in the pitch, it seems to be the wraparound service. Now he doesn't have to do that. I can see why he'd want to shift it away. But if Patrick Stewart is not ready and it's not aligned, then he's got egg in his face and the Rangers fans are asking further questions over where is the explanation. So they'll be hoping it comes sooner rather than later, but I don't know what that news will yield for them.
Hang on the line, Kenny. I don't know if this will satisfy you, but it did actually come up at the press conference yesterday, and Philippe Clement confirming that Bailey Rice, as an example, will sort of fully become a first team player or first team member of squad, if that is the right phrase, after this game tonight.
In a very positive way. They're both really young. Clinton came in as replacement for John Lee Feko, who was training sometimes with the first team. It was also an opportunity because it was end of contract. And recruitment team, myself and my staff, see the potential in him. But he only played academy football until now in Milan. So it's a big step forward also to be competitive with Rangers. But he's taking really good steps the last couple of months, and he's more and more competitive in the squad with the other players, so that's a positive story. Bailey Rice the same, so maybe you get really good information in the club. I don't know, because even Bailey doesn't know this, so maybe you have a lucky shot also. But Bailey will be officially in the dressing room now after the game against Dundee. So that's the plan, things that we discussed this week also about the squad and which people make a next step in their evolution in the club.
Bring it back to tonight, Kenny. The away form has been a huge issue. Can you see that changing this evening?
No, a draw. I think we're lucky to get away for a draw. And the captain, I've given it to Hadji. I've given the captaincy to Hadji.
It could be anyone, really, Gordon. I mean, who do you think? Hadji, is that a good shout?
Yeah, listen, I'm not against it. I think they'll need what the old cliche says, 11 captains up there tonight.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
It's just a bit of fun.
Okay, I'm going to go with my bit of fun.
By the way,
we're seeing who predicts it correctly. We're not saying it
massively. Sum up Rangers' season, though. Given the captaincy to Hadji, who was frozen out for so long by the club.
I'm going for proper. There you go. And I'm going for proper because I think he'll lose.
He's the oldest.
Experience.
Basically, centre half, experience, maybe ticks the boxes. Because I look about, I don't really see anything else there. But it doesn't matter who's the captain. They've got to get their sleeves rolled up tonight in cold temperatures and go and get a result because they certainly need it.
I'd give it to the goalie. I know that was discussed the other night. Well, he's been at the club before. I think you need somebody that understands the standards of the club, not just who is the oldest on the team sheet.
And he's been a captain in Motherwell?
Yeah.
He's an internationalist.
Proper was the captain at 20, I think, as well.
Yeah. I would go for the goalkeeper. He knows this world. He knows what he's into. He knows how important it is.
He knows this world.
What sort of world does
he know? It's a bad world. It's a cold world out there tonight.
Kenny didn't sound too excited about the prospect of 3 points tonight, Gordon. I mean, you would understand that. I mean, because Rangers would, they're still going to be favourites in all of these away games they play, right? So it's not a huge prediction to say you think Rangers will win, because they kind of should and they will be favourites. But once you've got to 10, which is a big old number, and only won 3, you can understand why fans like Kenny are not too optimistic.
Yeah, but I'm looking at, okay, defensively it'll be interesting to see who plays in there. Obviously they need to change one or two things about. Yilmaz still playing at right back. Proper will probably play. Is it Sterling? Is it King? Kelly's an experienced goalkeeper. Mark wants to give him the captaincy because he knows the world. But you're not playing against a what I would call a great Dundee team, right?
But it wasn't a great Motherwell team at Fir Park.
But I would rather go to Dundee than go to Motherwell and St Mirren just now. Right? You look at Dundee at the weekend.
Dundee beat St Mirren a couple of weeks ago.
Hold on, doesn't it? You can't just go and stuff. Oh, we beat so and so and whatever. Listen. You know something? Listen to understand.
I'm listening.
Don't listen to reply.
You forgot, didn't you? Dundee beat St Mirren a couple of
weeks. I'm not interested in Dundee beating St Mirren, but I look at Dundee going to St Johnstone and having 27% and winning the game, right? Fine. No problem with that. I just don't see Dundee being... Put it this way, if I was having a game, St Mirren, Fir Park or Dundee, I would pick Dundee. And I think that because of the way Rangers are in the front line, middle of the park... They can go and cause Dundee problems tonight. And I think it'll be a hard game. I'm not saying that. But I think Rangers will edge us.
Only 2 points between Dundee and St Mirren. Dundee get a game in hand. Is there that much between those sides?
I think Paisley is a harder place to go than Dundee. That's only my personal opinion. Yeah. You don't need to agree with it.
Well, like I say, listen, Rangers are still favourites to win the game tonight. Yeah. So by predicting that they win, I'm not going to argue with that. They are favourites, Mark, but you can totally understand why fans like Kenny feel like they're not that excited about the prospect.
Well, no, like they're away form, but feeding into, you know, last April we had the draw 0-0, and that was an important stretch of games for them. You know, they needed a win and they couldn't get over the line. You add in all the injury problems, then you're right to be concerned, because like I said at the start of the show, you just don't know what you're getting. Daz is right. The Rangers could turn up and their front four could be on fire. Dundee won't live with them, there's no doubt about it. But if they're off colour, if they give Dundee opportunities, if Dundee put balls into their box like Hibs did and test that back four, then it could be a tough night for them, especially cold conditions as well. So it'll be a tough one. You just don't know what Rangers are turning up at the minute. That's the problem for Rangers fans.
Who would you predict tonight then, Mark, to win the game?
Rangers,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you to Kenny. Good time to call. We'll get you on after these. Every day is payday. Yes, Terence was waiting for his grandson to come out of school when he got the extra payday worth £2,025. What a nice uplift that is. He's planning to use it for a new car. He's still in the draw for the massive £200,000 tomorrow, and you could be too. So text YES to 61025. If you do that, you get two entries for the price of one text. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £250 or call 0330 880 4523. The calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are online. The lines close 3 p.m. tomorrow for your chance to have £200,000 paid into your bank account in time for the weekend. Just answer the phone. If we call, the cash would be yours. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson here, so give us a call, please. 0141 951 1025. We're looking back on last night's action at Celtic Park. We're looking ahead to the game between Dundee and Rangers this evening as well. This might spark something in you, Rangers fans. Here is your team tonight. Is this the right team? Could Philippe Clement have done anything else, given all the injuries and absentees? Gabriel has the answers.
Yes, I do, Gordon. Some really interesting team news coming out here at Dens Park. Two changes for Rangers from the 3-3 draw at Hibs. Nico Raskin, the standing captain, is suspended, so Connor Barron comes into the side. But with an injury crisis at the back, Clinton Nsiala is making his debut at centre-half. He starts in the middle of defence alongside Robin Proper, who will captain the side. So the team is Liam Kelly in goal, a defence of Ridvan Yilmaz, Clinton Nsiala, Robin Proper and Jefte, Connor Barron and Mohamed Diamande in midfield, Vaclav Cherny, Nadim Bahrami and Yanis Hadji are behind Hamza Igerman. Substitutes: Mun, Cortez, Desses, Matondo, Dowell, King, McCausland, Rice and Danilo.
Very interesting. Nsiala, first time we've seen him in a Rangers jersey for the first team, Gordon.
Yeah, of interesting. A good debut to make up at Dens Park, beside Proper in the centre of defence. Another defence that's never played together. Nsiala, I don't know that much. Nobody's seen him. But obviously, that's another blow for me. I didn't hear Gabs there if he read the bench out. But if King's on the bench, that's another blow for me if I'm Leon King. I'm looking to get out there and play some football. I'd be looking to get out and loan.
He's on the bench, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be looking to get out and loan because I thought that obviously if Sterling was not going to make the starting 11, then King would have probably come in there. He came on at the weekend against Hibs and looked okay. I know he wasn't on the pitch for a long time, but he's played in big games before as well. So obviously he's back down the pecking order on the bench. So that's a blow for him. But as I say, I think that front four, as we keep calling it, I think they're strong. You've got Barron, Diamande that'll go and try and marshal the middle of the park. Jefte getting up and down the flanks with Yilmaz. Look, I think if they play tonight, their capability, they've got more than enough to go and win. But they can't go away from home and concede the goals that they conceded at Easter Road.
Yeah, look, Mark, I think there's always that crisis narrative because there were more drop points. But I suppose you need to acknowledge this isn't quite the way it was earlier in the season where we were getting Rangers fans on saying that, you know, that there are no positives. There is nothing here. Whereas now, I mean, they did score three at the weekend. Igerman scores three. They have him. They have Cherny. They have Hadji. So again, that's not going to guarantee anything, as a over the piece, the away form clearly is poor, but there's enough there that if, put it this way, if Rangers were to start tonight like they started at the weekend, it becomes highly unlikely that they would drop points.
Well, of course, because they carry a threat from middle to front. There's no doubt about that. Guys like Cherny, I think Cherny's had a really good season. Hadji coming back in the side certainly helps that. The creativity, the movement, he can pick a pass, and the man it's leading the line just now, Igerman, is just taking any stride, you know, against Celtic, Tottenham. He's hat-trick at the weekend. He's one of the informed players in the league just now. Even Bahrami, I know he was quiet at the weekend, but again, he looks like he's enjoying his football to a certain extent. I get Raskin upsets things, but Barron at the start of the season was seen by many Rangers fans as their best bet in that midfield area. Diamandis got a bit better. So middle to front, no problems at all. The turn up, they should have enough to cause Dundee plenty of problems. It's obviously at the back four, it's just chops and change every week. By the way, when everybody was fit, it chopped and changed every week. It's now been forced upon Philippe Clement. Insiala was signed from AC Milan to come and play for the club. Now, sometimes you have to wait for your opportunities. Sometimes you need a bit of luck when you're a young player. He's got it. But like Daz is saying, it's clear that King just isn't fancied by Philippe Clement. But if I was Tony Docherty flitting it round and I just heard Philippe Clement say what he said about Insiala and that he's only played academy football, and
would you go about direct?
Of course I would. 100% I would. And test him. Now the boy might breeze through it, but how are you going to know if you don't test him?
I think they've got a big test tonight, because one of the biggest pests to play against in the Premier League must be Simon Murray. You know, I don't think he's the most gifted striker I've ever seen, but I'll tell you one thing, he's a real team player.
Just raging when he scores.
He's brilliant. It's the best he looks. But I've got to say, he's a handful. Yeah. And he'll fancy that. He's a centre-forward, and you see that team sheet come down, you think, good opportunity here for me.
Willie is a Rangers fan. How are you, Willie?
I'm fine, I'm just waiting to put my start the next tour. I'm just in the Houston Nation, man.
Good on you. Best place for it.
I'm a Chelsea supporter.
Good. Quite right on a night like this, Willie. What are you thinking tonight? What made you call?
I hope Rangers win, obviously, but you never know. Anyway, what I was going to say, Gordon, you said it happened a minute ago, Rangers away from pretty poor. Mm-hmm. But Celtic's away from them. But Rangers have put Celtic from the last three games in 90 minutes. They've good two and lost one in the last three away games. So it's quite easy on your home games. It's when you go away, it's not so easy.
Well, I know that, it's always going to be harder, but to answer your questions, you asked the question, Celtic have won 25 points away from home and Rangers have won 12. How's that comparable?
I'm talking last four and last three. I'm just talking about recently, no through the whole season. I'm just talking about just now. No talking August, September, October. I'm talking about right now. Celtic lost the last three away games. You can't dispute that. They've not lost them. They've not won them.
Celtic have not won the last three away games. What, domestically?
90 minutes. They drew a cup final. They drew with Dundee United and Rangers beat them at Ibrox.
Right,
that's
hold
the
on.
Last three away games.
No, the cup final's not an away game because it's neither a home game either. It's neutral. And we see this are going to go 90 minutes on a day when you lift the trophy above your head. Oh, they didn't win it in 90 minutes. Like, I don't really get the point, Willie, because even if I give you it and say that that's accurate, you've phoned up because we said that Rangers away form is poor, and you now want to say, ah, what about Celtics? I genuinely don't get the point.
You're bad.
Sorry?
You're just a man of Chelsea, isn't it? It's good, not away. It's still good away. There's no one three. The last three games. They played three and
have
no worried
about them. Well, the facts are there. I don't know why you're angry about the mentioning of there's 25 points away from home. Celtic have won this season, the Rangers have won 12. Why would you try and compare that?
Never mind.
History, that's history. It's no history, it's this season.
To be fair, well, he's got a point, that's history.
We're talking now.
But it doesn't even matter if you're talking about it now. If you take the full, whether home or away, into consideration, Willie, the reason that Celtic are sitting 16 points in front of Rangers just now is probably because of Rangers' bad. but they've had 25 points away from home and top of their home form. So that's the reason Celtic are sitting 16 points in top.
It might be history to you, Willie, but it is literally the sole difference between the sides this season, isn't it?
Four games at Celtic Park.
Sorry?
Four games at Celtic Park. That's 12 points. Thank you, bye-bye.
Oh, call of the week. Thank you, bye-bye.
It's also factually incorrect. You can't say Celtic have failed to win the last... You cannot say Celtic have failed to win the last three away games and include a game at Hamden in that.
No, I've got
because that's
to
not
say
an
that.
Away game.
I was amazing. Just listening to you, Willie. I enjoyed that. The people at home would have liked that. I don't know where he was going with that.
Neither, really.
He just conveniently wrote off August, September, it's October. History. Doesn't matter.
It's history.
Nah, thank you. Goodbye.
Celtic's last three away games domestically, Rangers, Dundee United, he's right, and Aberdeen, yeah. Which they did win.
Yeah, so yeah, they did win. So his argument is fell down there.
Unfortunately, Willie, but I hope he enjoys the game anyway. Let's play. Mother, is this a neutral venue? It's a home game for you two.
Oh, this is home.
Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. Let's hope it's a bit more straightforward than that was. You can give us a call right now on 01419511025. You call us before 7, you try and win a signed ball against Mark Wilson or Gordon DL. Let's do it. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. We're just under an hour away from kickoff at Dens. We've given you the Rangers team. We'll bring you the Dundee team in just a second because it's an interesting one. And we're looking back on last night's action as well. So please do keep those calls coming on 0141 951 1025. And we play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. How's the form?
Good.
I've not played for ages.
Have you played?
I can't believe it was a week ago. Rangers, you know, played Celtic.
You two were doing my head in. So earlier on, it was just a throwaway line. I looked at the, see that big clock up there, right? This is no use if you're listening on radio or even the live stream because it's off the camera. See if it's got the date on it.
Yes.
Thursday the 9th.
Yeah.
You think I do this stuff by accident? I looked at it and I thought, that's a week ago since Rangers played Celtic. And I said, a week ago. And I can see you two touching each other, shaking your heads, scoffing, looking at your watch, looking at your paper as if to say that
I
got it wrong.
No, I was saying to him, I can't believe it's a week. I was miming
checking.
That.
I
was
checking. Double checking.
I did, because I couldn't believe it. There's been a lot of water under the bridge since then.
Anyway, you've not played.
A lot of what?
Listen, keep it about the show.
A lot's happened.
Keep it about the show.
Remember about the waves.
How's your face, by the way? Is it loosening up any?
Yeah. We were just chatting about it there in the break.
It still looks
it's got things in there. Things inside the cheekbones.
Yeah.
It's like a squirrel collecting nuts.
It still looks quite tight.
It's quite what?
Tight. Like
I
as
get
if you can't
electric
laugh.
Shocks.
You still not able to laugh or smile?
Yeah, I can tell you about
that. Look at that smile. Sheepish.
That is outrageous. Is it sore?
A wee bit, yeah.
But he's got part 2 to come next week. We'll start seeing the effects pretty soon.
See the amount of people I've spoken to in the last couple of days that go, Dazzler's not seriously had like work done to his face, has he? And I said, yep, he's
100%. I had to get it. My cheeks were falling.
See, he's falling. He's got butterfly stitches or something here just in the side that he can't quite pick up, but
well, let's
he's
hope,
a brave man.
Let's hope he can manage to spit out the answers to tonight's Beat the Pundit if he plays. John is in East Kilbride. How are you, John?
How you doing, team? I'm doing good.
Good stuff. You played before?
I have. I could beat off of Hugh Keevans last time, so...
Hang up, mate.
No, I already know I like John because you would never admit to that. Like, you would never admit to that, but John's obviously just an honest guy.
Well beat, John.
Just one in it.
One nil.
did you find it very hard on the radio when everybody's listening to you and your family are sitting round the phone? Was that the problem? Like you're going to do tonight?
He's panicking.
He's better for the experience, I would say. What about Tuesday night? You were here. You witnessed it, did you not?
Boy, it was brilliant.
Simon Donnelly,
right?
The contestant David got 5 out of 5.
Right.
Absolutely blitzed Simon out the water. He knew himself. He messed up the 6th, so we didn't get the chance to go for the 10. But he absolutely blitzed him.
Was good.
Right, and then at the end, he goes, I've actually been on before and I got 10 out of 10. I beat Simon last time.
Did he? Wow.
He said he was over the place.
A Scottish
Celtic player, Coon.
Name a Scottish Celtic player, Coon.
No, I don't think the question was name a Scottish Celtic player, but
top
something like
Scottish,
that.
Goal scorer Celtic, Coon.
Coon. Aye, anyway. No good.
Right, John, if it's heads, it's Mark Wilson. And if it's tails, it's Gordon DL. And his heads. You said you've not played in a while.
I've not. Right, I'm in.
Heads, right. Okay. Mark Wilson.
Good luck, John.
Oh, John's weak.
Let's give him let's give him something else to listen to so that he can't hear us. John, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and just pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Cool.
Right, your 30 seconds goes on the clock and your time starts now. Who captained Rangers against Hibs on Sunday?
Raskin.
Who's the only German to manage a Scottish club side?
Pass.
Celtic's Johnny Kenny has returned to the club after a loan at which team?
Shamrock Rovers.
What city is this year's Europa League Cup final being held? Europa League final.
Milan.
Which SPFL side play at Palmerston?
Palmerston is Queen of South.
Who did Barry Ferguson rejoin Rangers from in January 2005?
I'm not getting
guess
it.
Guess a team. 3, 2, 1.
I thought they were okay.
They were hard.
There's one or two easies, but there's a mixed bag in there which
mixed
you'll
bag.
Struggle.
Okay.
John had a nightmare, didn't he?
I wouldn't say that at all.
John's already.
Did you hear
up.
John's answers?
Yeah, John, you're still there.
You can't have. It wasn't a nightmare. Let me tell you that.
You're not feeling confident, and you know.
That means zero. Fire away.
I don't even know what John's done.
I feel much more confident now.
Okay. Who captained Rangers against? Time starts now.
What?
Against Hibs on Sunday.
Raskin.
I'm going to slow down.
Hey, hurry up.
Who's the only German to have managed a Scottish club side?
Pass.
Celtic's Johnny Kenny has returned to the club after a loan spell at which side?
Dunfermline.
What city is this year's Europa League final being held?
These are hard, by the way. Prague.
Which SPFL side play at Palmerston?
Queen of South.
Who did Barry Ferguson rejoin Rangers from in January 2005?
Blackburn.
Birmingham, actually.
Oh, what's that?
I don't know. Blackburn.
They were hard.
He can't have done much better than you, John.
Don't know.
Even though I tried to give him some extra time at the start. I've never done that before, I don't think. I got really excited.
To be fair, I didn't hear John's answer, so I don't know but I can imagine John not being very good.
Don't think I got many there.
Okay.
Oh, you were poor.
Who captained Rangers against Hibs on Sunday? Nicholas Raskin. Both got it. Who's the only German to manage a Scottish club side? I'm desperate to know your thoughts on this because you scoffed Gordon Dill and you were acting as if it was easy.
Yeah.
So I'm really keen to know if you've got this.
No, I didn't.
But you were scoffing at Mark.
Come on then, big German.
I didn't really understand the question because I was thinking about Bertie Volks, but it was international.
Is Stendhal German?
Yeah, Daniel Stendhal.
Even worse, I got it now.
None of you. Celtic's Johnny Kenny has returned after a loan spell at Shamrock Rovers.
Oh, I was going to say him as
What's the score here?
It's now 2-1 to John.
What did he get?
Shamrock Rovers.
What?
No way.
It's quite well known.
I know, I was going.
Especially if you're a Celtic fan like John is, and you know.
Right, well done, John.
But this is where it all goes wrong for John.
Okay. What city is the Europa League final? It's still Prague, I'll tell
I
you
know,
that.
I don't know.
Bilbao.
John, no chance.
Nah, John,
nobody knows that.
He did not get it. Palmerston, Queen of the South.
Yeah.
QOS.
Both got it.
Oh, no. It's trouble for me.
Barry Ferguson rejoined Rangers from Blackburn.
That's an equaliser.
John got it as well.
You're joking.
No, John.
No, no,
you've been beat with John.
No, boom.
You go down in history as a man beat with John.
Oh, no.
That's what the Celtic fans can sing about you.
I don't mind just coming clean before somebody moans. I felt like I gave John a slight helping hand on the last question.
Oh, hold on, why?
But I gave you a helping hand by accidentally.
How was your helping hand?
You actually slowed down though and took 10 seconds off me.
So it was the last question and John was like, I don't know if I'm going to get it. And I said, just guess a team. And he said, Blackburn. I think that's fair. I don't feel bad about that. I'll sleep fine tonight with that.
John, did you guess or do you have somebody Googling that?
It doesn't matter.
Buying time.
I'm talking about my role in it. That is what happened. The time is running out. He goes, I don't think I'll get it. And I goes,
you know what?
Guess a team, 3, 2, 1. And he said,
I'm not going to be like him and blame anybody else.
Mate, I
should have been better there. I should have known Shamrock Rovers. Well done, John.
Well done,
well
John.
Well deserved.
Cheers.
You can't get beat with him.
He has beat me.
He did well. We'll put it this way, he'd have beaten you.
No, you wouldn't.
He knew Shamrock Rovers and you didn't. You would have said Bertie Volks and humiliated yourself on the third question.
I would have said that, yeah.
Don't even start me on what city you would have guessed the Europa League final.
Bilbao.
Where?
Bilbao.
Rocky Bilbao.
That's his new face.
Yeah.
He can't get his
Rocky. Bubble.
He looks like he's been in the ring with Rocky.
Yeah. That's exactly what cheeks. I would have said.
John, what about your team last night? Happy enough?
We were much better. I think we weren't scared to backpass, so I think we managed to get the team over the line, which is fantastic. And it was exciting, but it was a cold night. That was a problem.
What was your favourite of all the old songs that were sung?
Oh well, I think Jackie Mack's been done out. By the way, Jackie McNamara never got his song. I always think that Jackie McNamara, he's a Celtic boys right back. That should have been playing, but.
John, can I ask you a serious question here, right?
Aye.
And can you find out from the Celtic fans next home game, why has Mark not got a song?
Don't answer that, John.
Come on, John. Tell him. I know one of you laughing, mate.
I think we need to sing a song about that shot and Papach saving it in the line, and then you shot again and you miscacked it and they went in.
Surely someday with some lyrics out there and they can put to that.
Did they not say, I was reading the stuff on social media last night, did they not say that even... And after everything he's achieved as James Forrest, I think he's lacking a song.
So I'm in the same kind of group as James Forrest.
You're only about 40 trophies I've behind
heard,
him.
I've heard this in Bowie. What's your boy, Nathan Jones? Who's the singer?
You're going to need to give him more than
Tom
that.
Tom Jones.
Nathan
Evans.
Oh, that's him. Right.
Nathan Evans. We met him in Germany.
Aye.
Well, you should know him.
You two don't remember that night, believe me.
He wrote a Christmas song for Radio Clyde. He can write you the Mark Wilson song. And we'll
I
get
don't
it
know if he's going to be writing Celtic songs.
No, he's an Airdrie fan. What, he is an Airdrie fan.
I can't see it.
I told him I was the Airdrie manager, right, but sure. He didn't tend to know that when I'm...
Anyway. Right, John, thanks very much. John was saying getting the job done last night. Celtic fans, how do you feel about it? Give us your thoughts, please. What about Dyson Maeda? Is it time to praise Dyson Maeda's goal scoring? Because since he's been here, obviously everybody knows... the running power and the energy and the pressing and all that sort of stuff. He's up to 14 goals for the season. Dyson Maeda, he's already beaten his previous bests at Celtic. Is it time? Because I know he still occasionally will fire across into the stand or do something in front of goal. Is it time his goal scoring got a bit more credit? What do you think, Celtic fans? What's been the difference this season? Why is he so much more effective in front of goal this season? Give us a call, please. 01419511025. Gabriel is going to be cursing me because he asked if he could go back inside for some heat, and I said, listen, go and just hang on because I just want to ask you for the Dundee team.
Why has he not got the camera on tonight? We want to see him. Oh, he's frozen glory.
And then beat the pundit took forever. Is he still there, Gabriel? Oh, he's not either. He's gone.
He's gone.
He is. His lips are just froze together. He can't speak.
He's defrosting.
Get him on the camera. We like seeing him.
Ah, it's a cold night, especially when you're sitting there at 6 o'clock. I've been in these shoes.
A man like him will be prepared, though, won't he? He'll be fully insulated.
I know where he'll be just now.
Aye.
The boys from Germany will know where he'll be.
It's an occupational hazard. We've all been there. I know it's cold, but I need this Dundee team because it's interesting and I want to hear from him.
Exactly. So I'm like, that's in Pill Rank, Gordon. You tell him. If he's
getting no time.
He's letting the side
for him to be sheltering. It just is what it is.
See, to be fair, I wouldn't care. I'd be inside as well.
That's just seriously
poor professionalism from him. Not being
well, you'll have
when
it in front of you. Just read it out.
That's what he's there for. He does it so much better. I like his style.
And what about the visitors, Mark and Gordon?
Exactly.
They're the home team, though.
What's wrong with
the home team?
Anyway, right, we'll get back to us in a second. We do know the Rangers lineup. Richard is on the line to react to that. How are you, Richard?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. What do you make of the team tonight then?
Good. Listen, we all know that we're a bit bare bones, so I'm accepting the starting 11. One thing I do want to highlight, though, is the choice of captain. I think that is the probably the worst choice out of those 11 names on the starting sheet. Robin Proper isn't a captain. Robin Proper isn't a defender. And to be perfectly honest, you're lucky Robin Proper's even a football player. He's absolutely shocking. He's not a leader. Why has Hadji been overlooked? Hadji has worked his socks off to get back into this team. He's done everything he can to get back into the team. He's playing fantastic. He's a leader. He's creative. He's everything that Rangers need at the moment. And we've picked probably the worst player in that park to captain the team, to a fixture that we really need to bounce back.
Just out of curiosity, last night, Richard, I was asking again, you know, who do you think will captain Rangers? And a Rangers fan on the phone said to me, Gordon, who cares? So I'll just throw his words back at you. Is it as important as you're making it out?
Of course it is. There's no heart in that team. So if you just do a lucky dip and pick a player out, you've not got somebody who's going to try and inspire the team and then drive the team on. Everybody knows a captain needs to be a leader. If things get, hopefully they don't, but if things get difficult there tonight, we need somebody who is wearing the armband who's going to try and lift the team and drive them on. Robin Proper's not that guy. Honestly, he's the worst choice there. I would have picked Hadji, and I just can't understand for the life of me why he hasn't picked Hadji.
I think it's a matter of opinion. I'm not going to disagree. I think that I wouldn't have been surprised no matter who it was. Listen, if he went with Yilmaz at right back, international player.
You wouldn't have been surprised if Yilmaz was the Rangers captain tonight?
No.
Come on.
I wouldn't.
Seriously?
Oh, no.
Well, I would have been very surprised.
Would you?
I would just put, yes, Mark?
Yes.
Would you?
Behave.
Why? Defender, nothing, international
nothing
player.
Nothing against him. But you honestly would have went, yeah, that seems like like the go-to guy.
I don't look at that starting 11 there and see, I'll say, a proper captain.
I know, but proper is older. He's played more times this season and he was the captain at his previous club. Liam Kelly was the captain of Motherwell. You are honestly telling me you would not have been surprised
if Yilmaz
was the captain.
I would not have been surprised who he picked tonight. Listen, I said at 6 o'clock he'd pick proper. Remember?
I'm not having this.
I said at 6 o'clock.
I am not having that you wouldn't have been surprised if it was Yilmaz.
I never thought he would have picked Hadji.
Stop it.
Because what happens is managers tend to often go for that sort of sitting midfield player or a defender, a bit of experience, a bit of age, whatever it may be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the way the Rangers manager is, I wouldn't be surprised who he picked, right? See if he picked Hadji, I'd be thinking, right, fine, no problem with that. Mm-hmm. See if he picked Chirney.
I'm not putting Yilmaz in that bracket.
Why not?
He's
a defender and an international footballer.
Because it sounds like I want to criticise him, I don't. It's just not the same. That he would have been one of the latter choices. Clearly,
what he would have been right out of the 11. Where do you think he's got to be in the pecking order?
Right,
because he's not got to go Igamani.
Proper would be above him. Kelly would be above him.
That's two.
And who's he actually going for? Sorry,
Proper.
Hadji would be above Yilmaz.
Nah, you're just going with Richard.
He'd
have been in front of you.
You've had some mad shouts on this show over the years, and this is right up there.
I'm not saying I would have made him captain. I'm saying I wouldn't have been surprised the way the Rangers manager acts.
I was nearly patting you in the back there.
I know, no wonder.
Well, Richard, you're not happy with Robin Proper, to be fair. So you presumably would also have gone for Yilmaz over him.
Absolutely, I think that's actually a pretty valid point from Gordon. I would have taken another 10 bodies before I would have taken Proper. I said it before the Celtic game that he shouldn't wear a Rangers jersey again, and tonight he's wearing the captain's armband, never mind the jersey. It's just, Philippe Clement doesn't have a clue what he's doing. He's put his hand in a lucky dip and gone, all right, Robin, well done, you're captain. Congratulations. Let's see how it goes.
Oh, it's clearly based on the fact that he was a captain previously, Mark, and his experience.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it is a brilliant choice or whatever, but that's clearly what's behind it.
Yeah, it has to be. Look, I'm not Proper's biggest fan. I think since day one he arrived and we watched him against Motherwell, and I highlighted after that game, I thought I seen he was immobile, he didn't look up to speed, but I thought he might have built up to that. I'm not a fan of, you know, Richard, and we had another fan on saying players shouldn't wear the jersey again. It's just not happened for Proper at Rangers for whatever reason. And he's got a point, Richard, and he's ended up captain. And you think, how has that happened? I think the easy choice for captain was the goalkeeper all along. I mean, whether that maybe adds pressure to him that he doesn't quite need.
Why rather than Proper?
Because he's been the captain for the reasons I explained earlier.
What?
He was brought through at Rangers. He understands the club. He's been here. He's a good representation, I think, of the club. Mm-hmm. I think he's done well since he's come in, or done reasonably okay since he's come in. He's waited a long time for his chance.
Character, don't you, as well?
Well, he's been captain at Motherwell as well. He's a Scottish internationalist.
Proper's been a captain at his last club.
He's getting a lot of stick for his performances, in case you weren't listening to Richard.
But I think Liam Kelly fits the mould better than Proper does at this minute.
Richard, you're clearly not a fan of Robin Proper. We've established that. Given the defensive injuries, though, would you seriously have rather gone Leon King and Nsiala rather than play Robin Proper?
I don't want to completely rip into the guy, right, because that's not fair, but I really don't rate him as a football player. I don't think that he should be in that starting lineup. And scoring against Celtic, one hot day doesn't make a summer, and it's very much like Rangers' form at the moment. You go and you...
One swallow doesn't make a summer. It's not one hot day.
I actually prefer one hot day.
No, it's one swallow doesn't make a summer.
I think that's much better.
I quite like it as well.
Temperature-related for us. But Richard, I've been looking through social media, you know, some tweets coming in reacting to the team. It might not be Rangers' most pressing issue tonight, but is this like the end for Leon King? Is this a bad sign for Leon King if he can't get the nod? Is he as well looking elsewhere to find some football?
It looks like it, doesn't it? And it's disappointing, because I think if the boy got some minutes, he could certainly start to build a case for being in the team at least. But it's just not going that way for him. And Rangers have been really unlucky with the injury and stuff like that. And I just actually want to go back, if you don't mind, for a wee second and say that I would agree that Kelly would have been a great choice for the captaincy. Him or Hadji for me.
Leon King, Mark, again, like I said, I'm not pretending this is the most pressing issue from tonight, but I've seen quite a lot of Rangers fans pointing it out. I mean, I know this was due to injuries, but Leon King started at Anfield in October of 2022. Yeah. I'm not saying that then meant it should stay in the team, but I think once you've kind of had that taste, now I've now lost count. What choice is he? So you've got Balogun and Suter and Proper and Sterling,
seventh choice. It's quite a spectacular drop for King, and he's probably realised that he needs to move on. But it's one thing saying that, and another thing like getting the wheels in motion. It's maybe not King's fault. Maybe he is asking to move, but Philippe Clement needs to keep him there just in case. But the just in case was Sunday. And that's quite interesting how King came on Sunday. And Ciala was on the bench. Now, King, did he do much wrong on Sunday? Because he was gone for that long. So what has changed in Clement's mind to think at that time, in a really important fixture, a really hard venue, that he's changed his mind for tonight? That would be my issue if I was Leon King just now.
Thank you to Richard. Let's go back to Gabriel, who's now decided to join us. We're gracing us with his presence. He's come out of the warmth to do his work. Which we're very grateful of. Give us the Dundee team if you can.
Yes, good evening, I'm here. Three changes for Dundee from that 3-1 win at St Johnstone. Ingram, Garza and Donnelly all in. Graham, Palmer, Holden and Cameron all drop out. Trevor Carson will be the goalkeeper. Ethan Ingram, Ryan Astley, Clark Robertson and Josh Mulligan in defence. Scott Tiffany, Mo Salah, Aaron Donnelly, Cesar Garza. And then you've got Uluwasa and Adewumi. Simon Murray up top. Substitutes: McCracken, Sharp, Main, Braybrook, Palmer, Holden, Graham and Vetro.
Couple of things jump out. The headline for sure has to be No Lyle Cameron.
Yep.
Anywhere in the team. Yeah. He was name dropped by Philippe Clement in the press yesterday. I think maybe an illness or something I saw on Twitter, but I don't know if it's true. I mean, I've even seen Rangers fans hoping that there's maybe a pre-contract there that could happen. You know, the type of player Rangers should be looking at. He's out of contract at the end of the season. He's arguably Dundee's best player and he's missing. I'm just counting them up there as well. I think only seven subs by the sounds of it from Gabriel. Dropping Seb Palmer Holden's interesting, or rotating, whatever the word is, because he's another big physical presence that can be a bit of a nightmare for defences. Yeah. And that's before you get to, because we always do this, we talk about, you know, Rangers, they've got these defensive injuries. So did Dundee with a much smaller budget. You know, there's no Jordan McGee in there. We know Portales is out. They've had a few, remember, it was McGee and one other who, for some reason, I can't remember, both went down at the same time. After 20 odd minutes, they've had to bring Luke Graham back from Falkirk, recall him from loan. He plays again.
Yep, he's done well this season.
I see that R. Astley's in there. You know, he's never going to let you down, obviously.
He's never going to give you up, you know.
At least he's in.
Boys, your thighs are hot tonight, and he's. He was right in the back. He never got to give up.
Lyle Cameron. Him.
Yeah, look, that's a big story. You know, at this time, we're always. So cynical, and we always think, oh, illness, what does that mean? Transfer window, but he's certainly been their best player all season, so I wonder how that one's going to develop. But you're right, Dundee have struggled with injuries. Started the season well, Dundee, but you're right, they can't, teams like Dundee can't manage when they miss, you know, several key players and they're without some tonight. But they've still got strength at the top end of the pitch, and that's going to be the interesting thing. Adewumi with pace, Murray, he's got pace, he's got strength as well. How's that going to pan out? Mulligan, is a decent player just in behind him as well. So it's important that Tony Docherty instructs his team to test his back four.
Right, give us a call then. We will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are building up to kick off, about 30 minutes to go. Sub-zero temperatures in Dundee. Dundee against Rangers. Both teams depleted, actually. Hopefully it's a classic and heats everyone up there in the City of Discovery. I thought you'd have gone up, Mark Wilson. You know, that's your two old rivals playing against each other. You
not welcome been the man for in either camp up there.
Could have been the man. Right.
Did score up there in the derby, yeah.
Did you?
No. Bullet of a free kick,
stupid free kick. Remember we discussed this because he was on the teaser. He was players that have scored in the Old Firm and Dundee derby.
Oh. That was me.
Both goals absolutely hilarious in their own way.
See, bad. I'm an expert in that fixture. Fell in the same day as well.
You would have liked this. I brought this up to him the other day. I'll send you the link. I don't know how this happened, but someone, and I gave them credit for it the other night, so forgive me for forgetting. Sent me this YouTube channel that is just a. It's like an archive of every old Raith Rovers game you can think of from the 90s.
I like it already.
And that's all it is. And there's like, there's old interviews on there, award ceremonies, all sorts.
Hey, what have they got in this, man?
My 4-year-old the other day is going, Dad, what are we doing today?
And I've got 4 hours.
I'm scrolling through trying to find videos of him scoring. And the one, it just, the first one I clicked on, I saw Aberdeen. Raith Rovers Aberdeen, and I'll click on that, and it's the one that he scores the tap in and then runs over to the corner and does that daft celebration down on one knee.
No way. Get that sent to me.
That celebration down on one knee.
The traitors isn't he getting watched tonight.
He done that at Christmas and you're not getting him stick for it.
Oh, I need to see this.
I sent it to Andrew and Gabs.
Right.
Obviously Andrew McLean.
I'm glad
and
you're sharing my videos. I'll send you a couple more.
Don't bother.
They're always good with this sort of stuff. Andrew turned it into the wee sticker. You know the wee sticker you get on your phone.
Let's see.
The old Gordon Deere.
Oh, that's amazing.
You down on one knee.
I've been down on one knee too many times.
You're embarrassing. I get that.
Somebody for the crowd shout it. Yeah, well.
Anyway, we're about to speak to Michael on the full-time teaser tonight. Thank you to David in the Gorbals. Since 1999, six players have moved from Dundee to Rangers. Can you name them?
Ray, Gavin Ray.
Well done.
How many? Sorry, six.
Six in 1999. Well done.
Oh, he's flying. Keishnas Vili.
Brilliant. Right, we'll leave it there because that's three down and three to get. Michael is on the line. How are you, Michael?
It's good, Gordon, yourself. So point to yourself, Gordon. You stole my thunder.
I did?
Yes.
What did I say?
I've never
seen interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking you were on the show earlier talking about Dizel Maeda, how his goal ratio this season is unbelievable. He's a man possessed every week. I watch him closely. He's so good.
Yeah, so I mean, that's why we asked the question. Hope that somebody would give him a bit of credit for the goal scoring because it's never been mentioned. Everyone, it's so obvious, you know what he's in the team for.
Yeah.
And it's not that he didn't score previously, but that's a decent number. 14 by this stage of the season.
Well, it certainly is for a wide man. And he's predominantly played in the wide areas. I know there was some talk of him in pre-season starting through the middle at some point, and he would be an option for Brendan Rodgers. But Brendan Rodgers clearly sees him in that left-hand side. Not even that, but the assists as well. Obviously, the goals stand out, and goals in big games, Champions League games, cup finals. He's been a magnificent signing, but he's proven absolutely invaluable to what Ange Postecoglou was trying to build. But then when a different manager comes in, and Brendan Rodgers, I guess, is a more kind of a manager that likes technical players and likes to pass and fit things together. But Maeda's always still in there. He is erratic at times when he gets to the touchline, but he's quite often getting the end product.
How important is he becoming, Michael?
Very important, Gordon, at the moment. He's up there, one of the first players in the team sheet now at the moment, I think. Him and Kuhn are the first two in the team sheet, I think.
So there would have been a time when Celtic had more options in that area, didn't they? Because Jota, Abada, and Maeda, they were all there at the same time. I've not made that up. You know, and wasn't kind of nailed on to start. Now, you could say that Celtic need to still try and get back to that level of depth in the wide areas, because maybe there are games when you really need a dribbler, a Jota type that doesn't quite suit Maeda. However, he's the first choice by a mile there, isn't he? And it would take something special to put that into any doubt.
All day long. At the beginning, his strength was basically he was an outball. When Celtic were under a little bit of pressure or they were counter-attacking, he was the man. Get it down there, the pace in behind, absolutely destroyed defences. When he's not doing that, and there's a couple of games I've watched him that he's not doing that, he gets into great positions now. I think he's worked in that in training. You see his goal last night. You know, he's there, he's waiting for... I think it's a poor bit of goalkeeping, I've got to say, but take nothing away from Maeda. He's there, he's in the right position, and it's a very, very good finish, clinical finish. He's just been like that all season. I think he's getting better at that. I think, and you know, you look at him, you always think, oh, he's pacing behind, plenty of grass, he'll give defenders a real hard time. He's now getting into good positions in 18-yard box. Remember, he's played through the middle before. He's got that knack as well, but I think he's just getting better and better. The one I seen at it was Matt Riley. Matt Riley became a different player under Brendan Rodgers in his last season here. He got into positions and he was scoring more goals, and he looked like he was going to score a goal every week. I think Maeda's starting to get into that bracket.
It must be a dream to play with and manage as well. Just a player that looks no fuss, no nonsense, very expressionless. Doesn't look like he's out of breath as well. Works for the team, but scores you important goals. I mean, how important is that? Everybody would like a player like that on their side.
It's actually, I was surprised because I was looking at the league's top scorers. It's only five in the league. And, you know, the vast majority, because he's got three in the Champions League group stages. I know it's a new format and stuff, but, you know, he's scored in that competition as well. I think there was a hat-trick in the League Cup. Was that Aberdeen, the semi-final? Was that a hat-trick that night?
Yeah.
Something along those lines anyway. So he's really... Why do you think that is, that this is a better goal-scoring season? Because he's always got into those positions, has he not?
No, I think he's getting into better positions. Plus, I think he looks a bit more... what do you mean, calmer in the positions?
Bit of composure.
Composure I'm looking for, well done, Gordon. I think that there was times where he would just... have a swipe at the ball, whereas if you watch his goal last night, it's a very good finish. He's still got a bit to do, although the goalkeeper palms it out to him, he's still got a bit to do, and there's absolutely no way the goalkeeper's getting back to it or the defenders. He knows where he wants to put it. He puts it in there with pace, authority. I think the confidence in front of goals is a lot better for him now, and I don't think he's finished because he's playing most of the games now. Celtic do create chances, and he's very confident in front of goals at this moment in time. You've got to say that.
Yeah, because Mark, what is he, two behind Nicholas Kuhn? Yeah. And everyone has rightly been raving about the number of goals Nicholas Kuhn has scored this season.
Because of the kind of upturn in Kuhn, probably Maeda's probably been the level. But you're right, he's taken it above the level that he's been at Celtic for a couple of years. The goals in the Champions League as well. You remember the last one? Was that against Bruges, was it? Just out of nothing, just inside. I think Daz is right, actually. See, for a player, when you get quick players, sometimes they don't slow down. They're that much, you know, in their zone that they're just going quick and they quite quickly thrash at the ball. I think Maeda has taken a breath at certain times and just got that connection cleaner, and it's resulting in more goals and more assists as well.
He's become a better 18-yard box player. He's become more composed in there. And I think he's obviously worked in that, and all credit to him, and I think he's reaping the benefits now.
Thank you very much, Michael. A good point. Thanks for bringing it up. 01419511025. We're not too far away from the game kicking off in Dundee, about 20 minutes or so. So we're getting there. These 8 o'clock kickoffs, late night for everyone. The temperature will be dropping the closer it gets.
I feel for that boy sitting in Dens just now.
Who?
Oh, you know.
If it's any sense, he would have taken up a wee heater, or he would have the heated body warmer that you you were sporting a couple of weeks ago. By the way, we could do with one in here. It's not the warmest in here, by the way.
Look, guys, we cannot be sitting here complaining.
No,
when
it's freezing.
Could you imagine his nose running just now, the size of his up there? I'm not. Just keep it away from the pitch.
Do you know who I feel sorry for? And he starts tonight for the first time. Cesar Garza just moved from Mexico to Dundee. He had a, came off the bench at McDermott Park at the weekend, starts tonight.
He must have woke up this morning and thought, what have wrong I done move with my life here? What is this white ice?
19 years of age as well.
Oh, an experience to the wider world. See, I told you it's a bad world in there.
Oh, it is a
comes
big world,
many,
bad
many
world.
Different forms.
No Lyle Cameron, huge blow for massive. Dundee tonight, you have to say, right? I'll take one more guess.
Billy Dodds.
I'm not finished with the question, if you don't mind. Since 99, six players have moved from Dundee to Rangers. Can you name them? To recap, you have got so far, what did you give us?
We gave you Ray, Caniggia and Kishnisvili.
Right, okay.
Billy Dodds.
Nah, he went from Dundee United.
Oh, did he? Well, Nacho Novo?
Yes, and we'll get the remaining two answers next. Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon Diehl are here, 15 minutes away from kickoff at Dens. Has done the welcome Rangers. Rangers, of course, with that away form that everyone's talking about, apart from, what was his name, Willie? Earlier on.
just get a text there for Sid, just commenting on Willie's.
Not a problem for Willie, the away form, but for everyone else, there is intrigue. You look at that Dundee team tonight, though, Gordon, they are depleted. You know, we do make a big deal about when anything happens to Rangers or Celtic, it's a big deal, and I do get why, but. You know, for no Lyle Cameron at Dundee, only seven subs, already get defensive injuries. Tony Dockside on paper should be up against it, but then is there that fragility there? The teams just not fear Rangers coming to their home patch anymore?
No, look, I think that if you're Dundee, I fancy Rangers tonight, right? I know that they're wonder what we're going to get at the back. They went to Easter Road, middle to front early on, they were excellent. But they lose three goals. If you're Dundee and you've got Rangers come tonight, makeshift back four again, someone making their debut, you need your strongest team, Gordon. Dundee haven't got the riches that Rangers have got. Rangers can bring in international players, and if you look at Rangers' bench, there's still a few good players on there, international players, big earners. Dundee have only named seven subs. So I think if you're going to fancy it, if you're a Dundee, I think you need it your strongest team. I think you need it your best players. They've not got that tonight. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think Rangers will slip up here at Dens tonight.
It's funny we say only seven subs. I appreciate that's still a big number, yeah. But just now since the quotas have been increased, it's not as many as you can name, and it's just a surprise to see it. But it's still a fair number of options.
Well, it just highlights the problems that you've got. I wonder if Tony Dock had maybe some younger ones you could have put on there to make it the nine, just not to highlight it. But sometimes managers use that to highlight to the people upstairs that I need a bit of help here in the transfer window. That's right, you need your strongest side. I think Hibs had close to that or thereabouts on Sunday and got a 3-3 draw. I think Dundee are a long way off it, but like, it will be difficult. Rangers are in a difficult spot at the minute. They've went through such a high to their win against Celtic to a bit iffy again, Easter Road. So that consistency, Clement will want his own team to perform consistently. If they do that, they will win the game. But if they're off it again and nerves start creeping in and the away crowd start getting on their back, it doesn't matter what team you're up against, they will smell that you're in a bit of trouble. And they will put you under pressure. So it's going to have to be as professional as possible from a makeshift back four, but a very strong front four from Rangers.
Let's hear from Philippe Clement on the challenge that Dundee pose.
I have a lot of respect for Tony. He always puts up the team as very competitive. They adapt to the opponents. They make it really difficult. They're really good in transition. They have a lot of good players also in transition also. Three front players, really good in that way. with Lang Cameron, also a very good midfielder, creative midfielder with decisive action in the last pass, and a good solid base behind them also. So we know it's going to be a game where we need to break open the wall, see that you don't run in the transitions, and they are also good on set pieces, so we need to take good lessons out of the Hibs game to be better in that. Not in structure, but in being competitive in those deals, to win those deals more.
The Rangers at least have... It sort of flipped itself, didn't it? Because the Motherwell game, the first half was really poor, and they got better. The St Mirren game, again, the first half was poor, and they got a bit better. The strange thing about Hibs was that they started well, and they really should have been out of sight, I suppose. Almost in like a law of averages. If Rangers were to start like that, what chance would you give Dundee of coming back the way Hibs did?
None. I thought that Hibs...
But then I suppose you need to prove that was they can do it again, rather than that being an outlier.
It'd be interesting to see how Dundee do start, because I think if you look at Rangers' form, mostly away from home, when teams sit in and make it difficult for them to break down, then hit them in the counter-attack, they seem to have more success. Hibs went toe-to-toe with Rangers, back three, two wing-backs, high up the pitch. Rangers destroyed them in the first 25 minutes. Should have been out of sight. David Gray looked at that and thought, right, OK, we'll bring the two wing-backs back, make it hard, we'll counter-attack. Next goal was important, they got it. It'll be interesting to see how Tony Dock sets up tonight, and especially with not his strongest 11. But where there will be a danger is if Rangers dominate the game and Dundee hit them the counter-attack, the lad Murray up front will be a handful for those two centre-halves. Let's not be kidding. He's not the most gifted player I've ever seen, but he is a handful if you're a defender.
One of the things that would frustrate Rangers fans, I'm sure, Mark, after the weekend, was that a brilliant hat-trick by Hams Eggemann's been kind of overshadowed, you know, forgotten about. We hadn't had a hat-trick in the Scottish Premiership for a long, long time. He's, you know, he's young and just come into the team. Is he... How convinced are you that he's the kind of, you know, the real deal?
For now, quite convinced, because I've not seen a player like him at Rangers for quite a while, if I'm honest. A striker who... Look at his hat-trick on Sunday. You've got a left-foot finish in there, a lovely header, and a right-foot finish. But it's not just the goals, and he does score goals, by the way. It's his all-round play, the excitement, the tricks and the flicks. It's okay doing that, but if you've not got any end product, you end up becoming just a show pony. But he actually scores goals, he can assist as well, he can play off the side as well as through the middle. So for a young player, he looks pretty convincing at the minute, but he needs consistent games. He needs to be there time again. The only chance he's got to do that is by continually performing to the level he's at.
Also, Mark, he was a little bit unlucky not to make it four. You know,
yeah, of course.
Later on, he's going through, and to me, he's doing everything right. He's just unfortunate it comes off the post. I think if you're a Rangers fan who was looking at Rangers early on, the form of early on in the season, they were boring. I think this guy gets you off the seat. Yeah, I think he excites you.
Because the 11 goal total doesn't sound, you know, outrageously good, but if you bear in mind that the first came end of October,
yeah,
you know, so from then to now it clearly is.
But the first time we kind of clapped eyes on him was at Celtic Park, where he came on for maybe the last 10 minutes, and right after, I remember watching the game thinking he looks there's something there with that kid. But you're right, he's had not the involvement as Dessers or anybody else, but he's got the end product, that's for sure.
Right, let's get a recap of the teams and a final word from a freezing cold Dens Park with Gabriel.
Yes, Gordon, it might be freezing cold, but I came to the stadium four times last season, and on three of those occasions the game was called off due to an unplayable surface. The pitch looks much, much better this evening. Let's go through the teams again, starting with the hosts. There is no Lyle Cameron. Three changes for Tony Doherty's men. Trevor Carson in goal. Defence, Ethan Ingram, Ryan Astley, Clark Robertson, Josh Mulligan and Aaron Donnelly. Scott Tiffany, Mo Silla and Cesar Garza across the midfield, with Oluwusen Adewumi and Simon Murray up top. The visitors make a few changes themselves. The big news is that Clinton Nsiala, the 20-year-old Frenchman who signed from AC Milan in the summer, makes his debut at centre-half. The team is Liam Kelly in goal. A defence of Ridvan Yilmaz, Nsiala, Robin Proper, who captains the side, and Jefty. Connor Barron, Mohamed Diamande are in midfield with Václav Černý, Nedim Berami and Yanis Hagji behind Hamza Igaman. The Moroccan leads the line. He scored 10 in his last 11 games. Everyone knows about Rangers' struggles on the road. They've only won 3 out of 10 in the league this season. It has to change today in the face of the huge 16-point gap between themselves and league leaders Celtic. Kickoff is in 5 minutes.
Go on then, you two, quickly. A score prediction from you.
I'm going 3-0 Rangers.
I'll go 2-0. Yeah.
Okay, let's see how you get on with the end of this teaser as well. Thank you to David for sending in. Fulltime at Clyde1.com is the email address if you fancy it. Can you name the 6 players who've moved from Dundee to Rangers since 99? Novo, Ray, Kishnashvili, Kanija.
Come on, I'll give you that one. Yours.
You said you had it.
No,
you
have we got Adamczyk?
Adamczyk.
Yes, Darius Adamczyk.
Yeah.
And I've
on
got
you go.
The, yeah,
you've got the last one.
The recent one.
The recent one.
Midfield player, yes. Glenn Kamara.
Glenn Kamara. Enjoy the game tonight if you are watching, and whatever happens, we look back on it tomorrow with Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. Looking forward to that already. Wrap up, it's freezing out there, and we will be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Thursday.